We are here live for the first time recording at JED Insurance with radio entrepreneurs. And a theme of the day today is going to be getting organized. I'm here with my co-host, Jonathan Friedman, and we're here to talk to Warren Rutherford. Good morning, Warren.
Good morning, John and John.
Good morning, Warren. Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show this morning. I appreciate it.
So Warren, starting off the day, he's with the Executive Suite. And Warren, why don't you just describe a little bit about what the Executive Suite does to our guests?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The Executive Suite provides executive search and business transition succession services to small businesses throughout the New England area and sometimes beyond that. And we're located in Hyannis, and the internet and everything else allows us to do our jobs fairly easily with business owners.
So essentially you're coaching and consulting with people in transition.
Yes, oftentimes you're going to find a business owner who's had their business, whether first, second, or third generation, but they've been running their business in their business for anywhere from 30 to 40 years, and they're wondering what the next step is, and I come in and I help them do that.
So good transition into the segment today. So do you find a lot of entrepreneurs are just working in the business rather than on the business and get stuck, or what is the typical, what are they reaching out to you for?
Well, there's no question they're working in their business. They bootstrap the business from the start. They've learned to fulfill all roles and responsibilities. They've learned over time they need to delegate, whether it be sales, marketing, operations, or finance. But at the beginning and the end of the day, they still enjoy being in control. But they get to that point when they're nearing the point where they should be thinking about another career, and they're not prepared for that. They know how to run the business. They don't know how to get out of the business.
So where does the process start, Warren? Because you talked about transition, but you also talked about executive search.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sequencing there. So is it finding the candidate to acquire the business, or is it finding somebody to run the business so the owner typically maintains
more
control?
More of the latter, John. What I find when I'm engaging with clients is they tell me they want a succession plan. I'll give you a recent example. The owner and his wife have owned the business for 37 years, and they invited me in to do a search for a general manager, so to speak. I asked them what that meant, and they said they hadn't really defined it yet, but they wanted to step back. I figure after 37 years, they wanted to step back, but they still wanted to be the CEO and the VP of finance.
So less active day-to-day role is the way.
Less active, but they couldn't even define what that was.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked them,
golf.
Number of employees, well, no, they still wanted to work full-time in the business. They were trying to figure out what that next stage was for them, mm-hmm. and they figured they needed someone to learn how to run the business for them. So as we engaged in the conversation, the succession discussion was one of, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? When do you want to do it? After you sell the business, well, I don't want to sell the business. Well, okay, when you want to step back, what does that mean? Well, I just want you to go out and get a general manager for me. Okay, so executive search, to your point. John, as an example, is a highly successful CEO at another company. He's not looking for work. He's very happy where he is. But given the right circumstances, he might be enticed to come apply for a job if there was an opportunity to take a business from where they are now up 30, 40, 50% growth in a different market over a period of years. So I say to these owners, if you want a succession plan, you need to define where you are now, what you want to do the day after tomorrow, whether it's in the business or out of the business, and create an opportunity for someone like John to say, this is a great opportunity for me. I'm willing to latch on to this company and come in and help them grow. But I also said to the owner, if you can't define what that is, he's not interested in leaving a safe, secure job.
So you're helping them articulate or communicate their objectives, goals. Do you help them clean up the finance and do that kind of stuff? Or do you collaborate with others? Or you focus?
So the best thing to understand about Warren is you keep me away from the financial stuff. I'm what you might call a head and heart person. So I'm going to go in and work with them, what I call an organizational analysis. Some call it a diagnosis. But I'll look at their structures. I'll look at their human resources, their sales and marketing, their operations, their information management, technology management, and overall administrative structure and see if it fits. Remember, these owners have built the business from the ground up around their
themselves.
Own personality.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now they want to move it someplace, but they're not quite sure. So that organizational structure works for them. But is it going to work for the future? And that's what I do the analysis on and identify the roles and responsibilities, the markets they ought to be in, bringing in other advisors to help do that. Financials in particular need specialists, whether it's an interim CFO or a financial officer who can come in and define those roles. So it's the organizational analysis becomes very important for them to make sure that they're charting the right path.
So it's interesting when we're talking about getting organized, starting a business or ending a business. Do you find a lot of times when they're doing the executive search, they ultimately decide to just cash out and go have somebody else buy it, or do they tend to want to?
It depends if they have a clear idea of what they want to do, when they want to cash out. I often find that they have what I call a Monday morning after syndrome. And I'll just give you an example of clients who have come to me. So I run an executive search business. It's called the Executive Suite. It's on Cape Cod. So I find an awful lot of entrepreneurs who have sold their business that call me up some Monday morning after that they've exhausted their bucket list, they've traveled the world, they're tired of playing golf, they really don't like tennis that much, and they call me up and the conversation goes, what do you got for me?
Really? Interesting. And
so looking for a second career or third career, whatever it is, post their exit.
Yeah, they need social interaction. If you look at any entrepreneur, any business owner, define your day in the life. It's coming in the morning, talking to staff, talking to customers, responding to emails, text messages, phone calls, whatever it may be. There's constant social interaction for up to 80 hours a week. And when they go home, they still haven't left work. Remove that, and almost immediately after they exhaust their bucket list, they have nothing. They have perhaps a significant other, a spouse, sitting on the other side of the table, and they say, so honey, what would you like to do today? And excuse me for saying this, but one of my clients said she told me to get the blank out of her house and find something else to do. I was married to her for 50 years, and we were happily married because I never walked into her domain.
I was gone all the time. That's how we stayed happily married, right?
And he traveled the world. As my
mother-in-law used to say, we've been married 45 years, but it's really only 20 because he travels all the time. Mm-hmm. So is there a certain profile of your typical client that comes to you on the looking for the executive? And you define
someone
them as people who have been in business 30, 40 years and grown the business from the ground up.
A business owner who has bootstrapped the business and suddenly, perhaps because they've talked to an advisor, whether it's an insurance advisor, their CPA, or their attorney, someone said to them, look, you really need to make sure you do this the right way. And so they reach out to me on a referral basis and come to me and ask me for my help. Again, I'm a head and heart guy. I'm all the emotional part. So mm-hmm. having an owner come and sit down and talk with me about where they've been, where they are, and where maybe where they need to go or want to go, the last part's not defined. And these are folks that they're entrepreneurs by definition. They've done everything. They don't need anybody else's help. Mm-hmm. So to acknowledge emotionally that they need someone's assistance is a huge, huge, huge challenge for them. Mm-hmm. But once they come over that hill, it's, okay, do I get out of my business now? Do I get out of it gradually? Do I hire someone to come in and help me? Or do I reorganize the business? Oh, why are my customers leaving me? Why are my key staff leaving me? There's certain signals and tipping points for them that'll cause them to sit back and say, I am in the business. I need to get on the business. And for the most part, anytime an owner thinks about, well, I run my own business for 35, 40, 50 years. I can handle this transition as well. What they fail to understand is the business is running well because of them. They can't take on another full-time job of trying to figure out how to transition or develop a succession plan for their business. And that's where experienced advisors come in. And I'm only one. There's a number of different advisors they should consult with.
So it sounds like you're creating a roadmap to help them to their destiny where they're comfortable again, would be...
Yes, that's correct.
And do you find a lot of people engaging you through the internet? Is it more referral? Where are your typical...
It's all referral-based. So as I mentioned earlier, John, someone has to trust the source that's referring them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's an attorney, if it's a trusted advisor, then they're going to trust and respect that that advisor is not going to steer them wrong. It may be akin to referring a client to a registered investment advisor who's going to take all of your fortune and invest it. Takes a long time for that relationship to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, with my services, because it's very much one-on-one, it's very easy for me to sit down and ask an owner a series of questions. And in the course of an hour that extends to two, that extends to three, they're telling me their whole career story. And then at the end of it, they're saying, I never realized that these were some of my challenges. And so I leave it with them. Well, it's up to you if you want to go forward. But these are the steps I recommend. Bear in mind, you bootstrapped your business from the beginning as an entrepreneur. Now you need to get in a position where you have to think about and acknowledge a plan of action. Businesses oftentimes don't have business plans, budgets, roles and responsibilities that are clearly defined. It's all
in the head.
Up in the head.
Certainly in the small and mid-sized business
world.
Yeah, small and
mid-sized business. Well, in some larger businesses as well, John. So what I tend to say to folks is doing a plan, an actionable plan, is a good thing. Consider this your succession strategy, your transition strategy, your personal plan, however you want to frame it. But you need to lay out a series of steps and identify points along the way where you need to bring in specialized advisors to help you be successful.
So you touched on an interesting point regarding your search efforts and the pool, if you will, of talent that you have come to you. Call it the buyer's remorse or I've exhausted my bucket list. Have you ever experienced situations on the other end where you've got the person that is looking for somebody to come in and transition, they bring somebody in and they say, "What this is not what I want," that's a difficult transition as well for people. You know, they've made the commitment to bring somebody in, they bring somebody on board and they say, "Hey, this is not what I envisioned."
That's usually when I get brought in. What I tried to define to my most recent client was that it's easy to make a mistake. It's harder to correct it. And the world is filled with mishires. Oftentimes, the mishires result not from a poor selection. It results from a poor clarification of why you're bringing someone in and the purpose for it and where you want to go with your business. So, as I said to one fellow recently, look, you know, for my search practice, I get paid a commission. And for that commission, I guarantee the individual's going to be with you for a year. And he said, well, that's rather generous. And I said, well, okay, but up front, I'm going to sit with you and help you define the why, the how, and the when, and the who, so that there's going to be success in your organization, so that you, your employees, your vendors, and your customers accept this change and are willing to go forward with this change because you see the benefits. And if you define through this process that you want to see your sales increase 50% over 3 to 5 years, then that's the challenge you give to those candidates. That's the attraction to the candidate.
We need to find the right fit for that.
So you have to do what I call exactly a person future fit. So where do you want the company to go? And where is that person who wants to bring a company like yours in the same direction? Because it's going to benefit you and it's going to benefit them in their career.
Boy, as I'm digesting this, and I've used placement firms in the past, that's a very generous guarantee. But I can see that you're extremely thorough up front, and rather than plug a person, and what you've all done, you get busy and you plug a person and it never works. And so I think, you know, kudos to you for getting in and really defining goals, objectives, what the role's going to look like, who should look mm-hmm. at it.
Well, if you look at it, your time as a business owner is extremely valuable and important. And if you're devoting resources to bring someone new on board, doesn't it make sense that you do it the right way the first time?
Yeah.
And if you do, then your chances of improved success and productivity and efficiency is going to increase. You know, the client I talked about earlier said that he had brought, so to your point, John, he had brought in a COO, and he fired him after 3 months. I asked him why. And he said, well, he was going to change this process and that process and realign my staff. And I found that none of the staff liked him. He wasn't telling me what he was doing. And none of the processes really changed. And I said, so you let him go. I said, so now you have buyer's remorse. You bought the wrong person for the wrong reasons. I said, have you thought about stepping back and understanding why you wanted to bring someone in to begin with? And he goes, well, that's what we're talking about, aren't we? And I said, we're talking about the need to do that. The question is, do you want to do that? And he says, well, I'm going to have to talk to my spouse about that, because we have to figure out, from what you're saying, to make this work, we have to figure out what stepping back means for us.
Right. And as you talked about earlier, I think a big part of it that gets missed in it is sort of the whole psychological, you know, life transition piece that goes along with making a big change in something that you've been doing for 30 or 40 years. And I think if you can identify that, it sounds like, you know, you're doing that, and a perfect lead off for our getting organized is figure out what your life plan is moving forward, and what you want for your business and what you want for your life. And then you can match up an individual to help you accomplish that.
Correct. And when I work with those clients who experience that Monday morning after, or think they may experience it by not saying it, I tell them, look, there's 10 aspects of your life that you need to address. And in the first third of your life, you found your career. The second third of your life, you were in your career. You have another third of your life to go.
You
what do you want to do for the next 20 to 30 years?
Yes.
And you look at, you know, physical health, intellectual stimulation, recreational, creative activities. What do you want to do with your family, your spouse, your partner? Where do you want to live? How are you going to replace those social connections? What role does volunteer philanthropic activity have? Where does faith and spirituality come into play? And then finally, what do you want to do for work? Because there's an awful lot of folks that have sold their business that, in order to get those social connections, go back and be a cashier at Panera or wherever it may be. That may not be a bad thing. But is it a conscious choice for them, and does it round out the wheel of all their different aspects of life? So that's the other part of what I help them with, either before the business transition or during.
Well, I would say this was a very enlightening opening segment for Getting Organized here with Warren Rafferty of the Executive Suite and Jonathan Friedman of Mage. Greatly appreciated, and that was a great segment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for having me.
My pleasure, Warren. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
You reach me at WJR at theexecutivesuite.com or theexecutivesuite.com or by phone, if that's your preference in your old technology, 508-778-7700.
Wonderful. Our guest again on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Warren Rutherford of the Executive Suite, and we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.